When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
Oh, hey there.
Hi.
Oh.
Whoa.
How's it going?
Good. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But I had a nap and I'm trying to rally and it's only 7:30. So
yeah, you're doing so good.
Thanks.
You got lots of sleep.
I got lots of sleep. I just had to change my ADHD medication from like a, what do they call it?
Stimulant.
From a stimulant to a non-stimulant. And I didn't realize how much I use that stimulant to stay awake.
Yeah.
Because I'm also at the same time trying to reduce the amount of caffeine I'm ingesting.
Right. I wondered that. Did you take a coffee this morning?
Of course I did.
Okay.
I'm not a psycho. I'm slowly reducing it. Yeah. I went from like 22-ounce poured coffee to like a 16-ounce.
Yeah. That's really good. I'm still on the 22.
That's fine.
Thanks.
We don't have to do the same thing.
No.
All right. This episode was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. Like,
I don't even know, like, how it was real.
It was funny.
Yeah.
So it's episode 7 of season 2. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. November 3rd, 1997. Lucy makes plans to go to the mall with her friends, but Mary suspects she's up to no good. Like, that's what happens. But so many other things also happen that are unrelated.
Yeah, I guess, like, what would you call this?
Yeah.
Like, how would you title the episode to encompass everything that is going to happen in this episode?
Yeah, because Girls Just Want to Have Fun has nothing to do with what happened with Simon.
Or Baby Doll.
I mean, she's a girl. She does just want to have fun.
Yeah, true. Okay, so what's this? Oh, yeah, you just did the synopsis.
Yeah, are you
right.
Paying attention?
Oh, I'm paying attention to staying awake.
Yeah.
Although I am jazzed about this episode. So I say right away, like, let's talk about Lucy, because that is its own thing. So Lucy is going
actually, can we start off with how the episode started? Like, yeah. So it starts with like a music montage, but everyone's asleep. And everyone is sleeping like weirdly. So like Annie and Eric are like sleeping on top of each other.
But no, they were sleeping and then Annie rolled over and Eric rolled over like on top of her.
Yeah. Wasn't into it.
No.
Matt is like fully clothed, it seemed.
Yeah.
On top of his covers with his Walkman on.
Full blast.
Full blast.
Yeah.
Lucy is asleep with the phone off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
She must have been gabbing with her friends.
And fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. Ruthie is sleeping in Mary's bed in Lucy and Mary's room because Simon has Stan sleeping over.
Yes.
So Stan is in the bottom bunk, which is Ruthie's bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
like, why wouldn't they just put a blow-up mattress up in the attic where they were going to move Simon to?
Yeah, like, why does Lucy have to get put out? Not Ruthie. Lucy, Ruthie.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. Anyways, Stan wakes up with a nightmare, and then we'll get into that story in a minute.
Yeah. So that's sort of the, like, cold open.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So Lucy is going to the mall. She's on the phone with her friends, gabbing away.
Yeah.
And they decide they're going to meet at the mall. And Mary's like, you're up to no good. Like, why are you even so excited to go to the mall? And Lucy's just like, the mall, it's all about the experience, the smell, the sounds, the shopping.
Like, Lucy says that when she dies, she wants to be cremated and then her ashes pumped through the air vents of the mall.
So that she's everywhere in
like,
the mall.
That's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And probably illegal. But anyways.
Right. Yeah. But she's 13. She doesn't know.
Yeah.
So she's.
I was trying to be sneaky.
Yeah. I knew that it was going to pick it up. A little ASMR for everybody. So. So Lucy meets her two friends at the mall. We've never met these ladies.
No, it's not Ashley. It's not. Oh, the other one moved away. It's not.
The girl who's not bulimic.
Yeah.
It's none of those ones.
It's none of those ones.
So it's like the popular girls.
Oh, because she does make a comment like to Mary, like, you're just jealous because I'm friends with the popular girls now.
And Mary's like, I am not jealous of this.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I think I'm going to catch a ride with you to the mall. And Lucy's like, you're not invited. No, you're not. So Mary knows that she's up to no good.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you see them in the mall and they go into a bathroom and they come out of the bathroom several minutes later to like this slow-mo montage of the three of them.
They're 14.
They're 14 years old and they are dressed in a way that maybe is considered too mature for their age. Like short skirts, fur line.
Yeah, lots of fake fur.
Fur trimmed jacket, fur trimmed bag.
So like Lucy is wearing her hair in like an updo with like a banana clip.
Yeah.
And
which ironic is like coming back around.
Yeah. It always does.
Yeah.
And then she is also wearing like a ton of eye makeup, which Eric already like talked to her about mm-hmm. the other day. Remember, what did she say? Eye makeup
doesn't have an age limit.
Yeah. And then, so she's wearing like a black spaghetti strap tank top and a short black skirt. But over top of it is like a see-through, like long like
semi-translucent.
And it's like
fur line, fur trim.
Yeah, but the fur is blue.
Yes.
I don't know what animal has blue fur like that, but.
A sexy animal.
Yeah.
And she's wearing like the largest, clunkiest platform heels.
Like the ones you used to wear in 1997.
Yeah.
Like the clunky, like not me, but.
I did.
You did.
And they're clunky.
I was always wearing sensible shoes.
Yeah. And yeah, you still have a bad back. We're all doomed. I always thought my bad back was because I was like wearing nonsensible shoes.
Yeah, but I've still got like plantar fasciitis and a sore back because I work on my feet.
Yeah.
We're all doomed. Every one of us.
Yeah. So, and she's like struggling to walk in the shoes, like in this slow-mo. She's kind of like rolling her ankle a bit.
I wrote chunky heels, belly shirt, and eye makeup for days.
Yeah, it's a lot. And so they're at the mall and they've got these like drinks in their hand, like
in like today's if it was world, today, it would have been boba. I knew that's what you were gonna say.
Yeah, boba tea, but it was probably like Orange Julius or something. Yeah. So they're just like walking through the mall, and all these boys and men,
like the camera is panning and like so that you're seeing the men. They were men.
Yeah.
Reaction to these three girls walking through the mall. Children. Like,
first of all, there's not that many men at the mall ever. Like,
yeah. And they were all grouped together.
Yeah. They were like, casting call. We need 45 men.
45-year-old men.
To point at children and wink and smile.
Yeah. It was a music montage as well.
Yeah. Slow.
What song was it? Was it a song?
No. No. But they're just like eating it up. And then the one friend is like, oh my God, look cool. But somebody at 3 o'clock is checking you out. And Lucy glances over and it is the creepiest, greasiest.
He's like, he's a security guard. Mm-hmm. And he's like very, very white and skinny.
Yes.
And has very thin, ratty hair, like in a low-down ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
And like he looks like Buffalo Bill, but very skinny. Do you know Buffalo Bill?
No.
He's the murderer in Silence of the Lambs.
Okay. So they all start talking. And then back at home, Annie's like, hey, Mary, go find Ruthie. We have to go pick up Lucy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, but it's an hour early. And then she's like, oh, you want to check in on her? And Annie's like, well, yeah, but I also have some running around to do. So Mary.
Like Annie knows something's up. Mm-hmm. She also knows, but she like is going to give her her time and then bust her.
Yeah.
Because Annie in this episode is ruthless.
Ruthless. So she says, so they get to the mall and Mary's like, you just stay here. I'll run in and get her. And she's like, well, no, I'm going to park. I've got some stuff to do. So Mary's like running through the mall trying to find her to like warn her. And she finds her when she's talking to the security guard and says, these girls are 14.
Can we just say back up and talk about what was the conversation they had with Jim?
Oh, yeah.
So
Jim is the security guard.
Security guard Jim. And they call him a total hottie, which is so gross. And then Jim says, girls that look as good as you are going to need my professional services.
And he doesn't even need a gun because his hands are lethal weapons.
Like, gross.
Yeah.
So, like, Seventh Heaven people, are trying to, like, imply that Lucy and her three friends look older than they are supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so Jim doesn't know. What do you need?
I'm going to mute this so I can cough.
Oh.
Now carry on.
So Mary jumps out of the car basically in the parking lot and runs in because she's gonna like warn Lucy.
Yeah.
And she just walks up on her and like the look on her face. And she says to Jim, security guard Jim, like, they are 14. And he's like, oh, well, I didn't mean anything, whatever. And Mary's like, I knew you were up to something. Like, I didn't think it was this, but Mom's here early, and Lucy like looks over her shoulder, and lo and behold, who is walking up?
Ruthie and Annie.
Oh my gosh. And then the look on Ruthie's face like was priceless.
Yeah.
We should post it actually.
Oh really, yeah, really that funny. Is cute. So then back at home, she's obviously like had a shower, washed everything off. She's in a fuzzy robe, and her mom is just like laying into her. Annie's like, you are dressed completely inappropriately. And
like, our trust is broken.
Yeah. Lucy's like, it was my own style. And she's like, that's not your individual style. You looked exactly like the other two girls. And she's like, it's our stylistic something or other.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what does she say? You asked me if you could go to the mall, not work the mall.
Like, Annie.
Ruthless.
It was so funny.
And then, so they're like, you know, I don't know how I'm ever going to trust you again. You lied. Oh, and
yeah. Lucy's got like a quivering lip. Like,
yeah. Oh, and then who comes down the stairs?
In a belly shirt.
Belly shirt, short skirt, makeup for days.
A boa, I think.
Yeah.
And she had like just plastered like eye makeup on.
Yeah, Ruthie.
And she says, I'm being Lucy.
Yeah. And Lucy's like, okay, I get it.
Like, I see how this is a bad example for my younger. Oh, it was so funny.
So that's what that was. And then I bet you didn't know that one of Eric's skills. So what is he good at? He knows how to detox somebody from addiction.
Yep.
He knows how to.
Alcohol and drugs.
Alcohol and drugs.
Yep.
He knows how to intercept a drug deal.
Yep. He can adopt a child or at least set up an adoption on the fly.
Yeah. Man, he's like basically man tracker with finding runaways.
And everyone.
He finds people who don't pay their child support and he's basically like a lawyer.
Yeah. And he makes it happen.
And now maybe most impressively, he can add to his resume gang expert.
Mm-hmm. He's part of the gang. What are they called? Special forces or something? He's
a part of something. That is for sure. So, okay. So we got to go back to Stan, Simon's best friend, new friend, is sleeping over, having a nightmare. And so he's on the bottom bunk in the opening scene. And he's like, no, no, please, no. Oh, like crying out.
And Happy starts to bark.
Happy starts to bark. And Simon wakes up and Annie and Eric run in and turn the light on. And they were like, oh, you were having a bad dream. And he's like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, it's okay. Do you want to talk about it? And Simon's getting all sus and sneaky. And he's like, oh, it was just we were, you know, telling ghost stories before bed. You know, that's what happens.
Yeah. That's what makes bad dreams. And Stan, like, clearly doesn't want to say anything.
Yeah. And then Annie kisses Stan on the forehead and puts them all back to bed.
And Stan says to Simon that they have a conversation about how, you told me that scary thing.
And he's like, thanks for not telling anyone.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's our secret. I won't tell anyone. We're going to figure this out. So we don't know what it is at this point.
No.
But the next day, they're playing basketball, waiting for Stan's sister.
Slow-mo music montage basketball.
Whoever directed this made some, a lot of choices.
Did you catch when Stan and Simon did a chest bump and then like, we're like, oh, like in pain? That was the end
of it. No, I missed it.
It was funny.
So
Stan is saying that his sister's coming to pick him up and she's always,
always late. And then Matt comes through the door, through the gate with Stan's sister. Mm-hmm. And I don't even remember what her name is.
Karen.
Karen. And one of my notes was, why does Stan look like an adult in a kid's suit? Something about his haircut and his face. He looks like he's 37.
Yeah, he does.
It was unreal.
I had the same pair of brown corduroy pants that Stan was wearing. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
And I also wore them in 1997.
So, I wrote, LOL, Stan's sister Karen, baby doll belt. So Matt is like, oh, yeah, come on in. They're just out here playing basketball. And Simon's like, do you want to stay over again tonight? And Karen's like, well, you're going to have to talk to mom and dad. And Simon's like, well, my parents say it's fine. He hasn't asked them, but he just knows that they'll say yes.
Yeah.
And then so Stan's like, okay, I'm just going to go get my bag. And so they go in and Matt's like, wow, I really like your belt buckle. So this 4'11", 16-year-old is very white.
And she's wearing like super baggy oversized pants, which I also used to wear.
Yeah. With like a very spaghetti strap tight crop tank top.
Yeah. And she's wearing one of those belts that's like a clip, like with the teeth.
Yeah.
And it's like cloth.
Yeah. We all had them.
Yeah.
Like anybody
you know what
born
I'm talking about.
1980 to 1987 has had one.
Yeah. But there's a big black B on it and it's kind of written
in. Or a BD,
right? I thought it was just a B written in like
some sort of
Times New Roman or something like that weird, that one where it's like two lines and then a swoopy bit.
Yeah. Also known as gang paraphernalia.
Yeah.
You know, where was Mrs. Whatever, the kindergarten teacher?
Rainey.
Mrs. Rainey, she needed to be brought in here.
Yeah, she's
so. Close. Yeah, so
Matt. Or Lucy should have, or sorry, Ruthie should have came out.
Yeah.
With her hat with on her backwards.
Yeah,
and
initiation.
Karen just takes her.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So Matt's like, wow, I really like your belt. What's the B stand for? And she's like, oh, my friends just call me baby doll or baby girl.
Baby doll.
And he's like, oh, yeah. And she's all cagey. And then she's like, okay, come on. And then they leave. And Stan looks terrified to leave with her.
Yeah.
And then Matt.
So Matt. So first of all, Simon is in his bedroom reading the magazine, The Hang Gliders Gazette.
As one does.
As one does. I didn't mute. Sorry. And Simon, or sorry, Matt comes into Simon's room and says, like, what's going on with Stan's sister? There was somebody like at our church who also had that tattooed on their hand, and they were part of the Blackburn 16 gang. What is this? And Simon gets like so cagey. You and your coughs.
I know. Sorry.
Simon gets so cagey about it. And Matt basically like pries it out of him that Stan has, yes, admitted that Karen is in the Blackburn 16 gang.
Gang.
And that is what the B stands for. And her gang name is Baby Doll.
And so he's like, we got to tell mom and dad. And he's like, no, I promised I wouldn't say anything. I wish you weren't even my brother. You're ruining everything.
Yeah.
And so.
So Simon's pissed at Matt because Matt then does go and tell Annie and Eric.
As you do. Listen, kids.
Yeah.
If your friend's older sibling is in a gang, tell your adult. Pastor.
Or a safe adult.
Or a
maybe
safe
not adult. Your pastor.
Yeah. And yeah. So sorry. Go ahead.
So. Okay. So Annie and Eric are like, well, we have to solve this. And since Eric is an expert, instead of just going to like tell Sergeant Michaels, the police officer, he says he's going to go to Sergeant Michaels to get more info on the gang. Then he's going to go tell Karen and Stan's parents. Like, you are overstepping, sir. It's the name of the this show should be called Overstepping.
Yeah. So knock, knock, in his khaki jacket, he's at their door.
Yeah.
He's like, can I come in? And they're sitting on the couch and he's explaining, he's like, I don't know how to break this to you, but your daughter is in a gang. And right away, the parents are like, no, she's not. Yeah. We live in a nice neighborhood. We are a nice white middle class family.
And they've really gone the distance on what the house looks like to make it be a nice
very
white
middle class. Nice for the 1997.
Yeah. Lots of like soft blues and like carpet, like a white-ish couch. With
and I want to say like powder florals.
Yeah, powdered florals everywhere on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had like borders, wallpaper.
Did you have, we had this wallpaper in our office or like our, I don't know, piano room we called it. Like, it
did makes, you have a piano?
Like, it, yeah.
Okay.
It was just like the front room of the house.
Okay.
Where the piano and love seat were.
Yeah, they were building a lot of houses like that, that where that was that supposed to be the office, but like it wasn't a living room or a dining room.
Yeah.
It was a weird space.
So, and the walls had this like puffed out wallpaper.
Yeah, the puffy. You could feel it.
And it was pastel and I used to love like pushing
my nail into it. Yeah.
So I'm sorry for whoever had to take that down after that became uncool.
So they're going to search Karen's room. Like she's not home.
He's like, I'm going to prove you wrong. My kid's not in a gang. So they're searching everywhere in her room, comes up nothing.
And so the three of them decide we were wrong. Eric was
Eric's
wrong.
Eric's like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, I've never been so glad to tell you you were wrong. Like, we're so glad we didn't find anything.
Like,
and Eric's like, yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. So then.
Why did I write Annie lays into Karen?
Annie lays into.
Does Annie yell at Karen?
Yes. So then when they're at. When they drop Stan off, Karen drops Stan off for the sleepover that night.
The second sleepover.
And Annie's like, wow, I like your belt. And she's like, oh, thanks. My friends call me Baby Doll. And then Annie's just like, yeah, because you're in a gang. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that around town. I know you're in a gang. You're going to, if you don't end up like drug raped, beat up and killed.
Yeah, she does say that.
Yeah. Like you don't even know. Blah, blah, blah. She just like lays into her.
Yeah.
I can't even do it justice. This like this what is it, like a speech she gives her.
Yeah.
And then she's she's like, you don't even know. These are my friends. You don't know what you're talking about, lady.
You don't know me.
Yeah. And then leaves. And Annie's fired up.
Annie's fired up. And then I don't know what triggers this, but they decide, wait, we know we missed a spot.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're going to go back. So Eric rushes back and they start to search through Stan's room. Mm-hmm.
This scene is amazing. So I'm going to post this scene on Instagram and TikTok.
The things that they find in Stan's room that Karen has. So this is why Stan is so scared, because his sister Karen has asked him to hide all these gang weapons. And it's like brass knuckles, switchblades, nunchucks. Like, just a big chain?
Yeah, there's...
Like a whipping chain?
Yeah, a knife. But where do they find it?
Under his bed?
Under his mattress. So they're searching everything, and the dad's, like, scratching his head. And then they finally reach under his mattress and lift it up. And it's like just, like, perfectly placed, preserved weapon, storage.
So poor Stan, 11-year-old Stan's been sleeping on switchblades. Like, of course he's having bad dreams.
Oh yeah, he's going to have a bad back.
Yeah, he is.
And so then...
So Karen appears in
the doorway. And she's like, you don't understand. Like, these are my friends. I'm just trying to help them. And they were like, oh my God, you're in a gang. And she's like, these are my best friends. They've got my back.
And the dad's like, we're going to have to move.
Yeah.
Like, we live in a good neighborhood so that you don't get mixed up in gangs. And I'm going to get a new job. We're going to move to a different state. And she's like, no, you can't take me away. And then she's like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to solve this. Don't worry. I don't need your help.
Eric's like, I could make some calls. There are places you could send her.
Like, what does that mean?
Like the troubled teen industry, Eric? Because that's got a lot of heat on it right now.
And like... Like, where, yeah, was he going to send her to, like, some youth group in Kentucky?
Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, and so Karen is like, you don't know, like, these are my friends. I'll get out of the gang.
Yeah, I'll just give them their weapons back and explain to them.
I'll explain that I've got to leave the gang, you know. And they're like, you're not giving these weapons back. Like, you're getting out of, like.
And she's like, well, they're not going to let me leave without getting their weapons back.
Yeah. And then Eric says, you think you're going to survive telling them that you want out of this gang? It's called, he called it something like the opposite of an initiation. Like, so yeah. In order to get into the gang, they had to beat her up. And she's like, well, I survived that, didn't I? And then he's like, so then he's basically saying like the opposite of the initiation is going to be worse.
Yeah.
And so
everybody ends up back at the house,
at the Camdens,
and Eric and Simon and Matt and Ruthie and Mary and Lucy,
like everybody except for Annie.
Yeah. I guess I could have said that.
I was like, you're going to name all the people. It's everybody plus Stan except for
Annie.
Annie's watching from the window, smiling as they're all playing basketball.
Yeah. Everyone's playing basketball. Annie's fixing the sink.
Oh, right.
Doing her blue job.
Yeah.
Eric's playing with the kids and the phone rings. So Karen has gotten her butt kicked trying to leave the gang.
Okay, but whoa, back up, because this was such an emotional scene.
Oh, when she walks out.
So she answers the phone, hangs it up, she comes walking out of the back door towards them all playing basketball. And she's sort of like fidgeting with her hands and she's got this worried look in her eye and she's just
standing
there waiting for someone to notice her. And then they all kind of stop because Eric sees her and instantly is like, oh, shit, what happened? And then Stan looks at her and she looks at Stan and he's like, no. And she like grabs him and hugs him and kisses him on the head. And I think Karen's been murdered.
Me too. I was like, is she dead?
She's dead. Like... you better start planning that funeral.
Yeah.
But instead, so now Eric brings Stan to the hospital. And I will say they did it better in this hospital scene because she was actually hooked up to something.
Yeah.
Unlike Happy and Mary, who were like life or death situation, just like laying on a bed with no monitoring devices.
And I thought that Mary was like, it was life or death. Like her.
Yeah, she was hit by a car. We saw it. With our own eyes.
But she just has a hurt knee.
Yeah.
Whereas Karen is cut up.
Oh, big cut on her face, black eye.
Yeah.
Like, and they're just like, what are we going to do? And then Karen is like to Eric, she says,
are you going to get me into one of those
places? I think
places?
I need to go to one of those places.
What places?
Trouble teen industry. I interviewed somebody about it over on my other podcast. I did not sign up for this. And it is atrocious.
Is it where they send bad kids?
Yes, but it is a horrible privatized industry that has no actual standards. And it's like people are just like, I took a psych course in high school. I'm going to start an industry and get all this money. And
is
like,
it,
it's
is it
actually
like a group home.
It's like different types of facilities, but they're like wilderness camps and like kids literally die at them.
And are they like, what's it called when you go into the, is it like witness protection? Like, is that where Karen was going to go?
I don't.
So her friends couldn't find her?
Yeah. I don't know. But.
All right. Well.
So.
Also, Ruthie had no character lines, except she just couldn't. She was the whole episode. She's trying to figure out asking how fast 100 miles an hour is.
Yeah, it's Ruthie's like, now where Simon was back at the beginning, where they wanted him to have a storyline, but they just made up stupid things.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole thing was she wanted to hang out with Mary and Lucy, and then she also just kept asking how fast 100 miles is.
Yeah.
100 miles an hour.
And she, like, couldn't... Oh, excuse me.
Pardon me.
No. And... there was like a little moment between her and Lucy and Mary about like big sisters and love.
Right.
They all hugged.
I have this note, but I don't remember. It said Annie can't keep her cool when Stan's mom calls and she knows about the gang.
I don't remember that.
So I do remember Stan's mom calling and she's like, oh, yeah, like, of course, Stan can sleep over again. That's no problem. But she's like, I don't know. Apparently she couldn't keep her cool.
She's
we're going to have to go watch it. Yeah, she was cagey.
That's funny.
I mean, were you almost ever in a gang?
Nope. I mean, if you think youth group was a gang.
I mean, that's cult. But I used to like go into chat rooms like AOL. Mm-hmm. And I remember like one of the things everybody would ask is like, are you a G? And that meant, like, are you a gangster? And sometimes I said yes. Like, the most suburban white kid.
You were Karen.
I was Karen. I almost could have been a baby doll had I followed through with that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I even knew, like.
Like, I didn't even really know what a gang was. We know that my daughter doesn't know what a gang is.
I was just going to say, we're going to have to show your daughter this episode.
I was driving downtown with Olivia, and we don't go downtown very often, I suppose. And there was a bunch of people experiencing homelessness out in front of one of the
like shelters, resource centers.
Yeah. And she was like, oh my gosh, are they in a gang? It was just like a bunch of like super tanned dudes without shirts on and their pants hanging off their ass. And I was like, no, they're not. They're just homeless.
Like, yeah.
Like, is that
just
what she
experiencing homelessness and are maybe struggling with addiction?
Yeah. Like, that's what she thinks a gang is.
Yeah.
I need to maybe let her know. I don't.
and maybe this is me just being so naive because I'm just like a white girl that grew up in a small town and knows nothing about gangs. Like, do they want people like me in their gang?
Like a 40-something-year-old?
Not Olivia. No, like Olivia. Like, oh. Would they want Olivia in their gang? Like,
listen, if you're in a gang and you're listening, if you could write in and let us know if you'd like us in your gang. What are the qualifications?
What
kind of attributes do you look for?
Yeah. And like, I hear, like, we live in a big city, so like, there'll be like a targeted shooting at a mall that was gang related.
Like,
and I'm
like,
sure
have gangs and gang activity.
Yeah. We have a special gang unit.
Yeah. But I, my feeling, my sense is that it's more like she would be targeted for her naivete. Right. And offered like more of like a trafficking situation.
Right. Which is also not good.
Not great.
No.
But
not a better option.
Not a better option. But I don't think they're going to be like, hey, do you want this nunchuck?
Like, she's got to switch
blades. Do you want these brass knuckles?
Yeah. Like, I just can't. She'd be like, these are heavy. Can someone else carry them?
Unless it was like a Taylor Swift gang.
This is
how they'd get her and her friends.
Yeah.
They'd be like, hey, we're Swifties. Like, that's what they'd call the gang. Yeah. And they would just naively think that it's Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And they'd like bribe them with tickets to her concert.
Olivia,
or like
listen,
a figure skating gang. And she has to like cut people with her toe pick.
You've got weapons on your feet.
Yeah. She doesn't have. What is?
I don't know. You're just doing jazz hands right now. Brass knuckles, nunchucks, switchblades.
No, security guard Jim. What does he call his hands?
Oh, lethal weapons. Yeah. She's got lethal weapon feet.
Yes.
So, watch out.
Like, I could see Wyatt getting in a gang, though, like, for real.
Oh, yeah. But, like, so innocently.
Yeah.
Like, they would just have to be like, yeah, it's like a soccer gang. We're just, like, going to get together and...
And he'd be like, okay.
Yeah. Like, he already rode the bus once because some older kids told him and his friends they dared him.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you know?
He's like, do you know that the city bus just loops around Bridalwood?
And it's free.
Like, it's free because you're 10.
Yeah. We're like, how do you know this? Don't do that.
Like, it does go to the train station eventually.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not just a circle around the
neighborhood.
Not
just a loop.
Oh, man. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm. If you haven't already, check us out on Instagram and TikTok. And then also, we are doing a Patreon and a Supercast. So they're both the same thing, just two different platforms. And it's a subscription service. And you get instant access to like all of our bonus content. And it's just called a lesbian recap. So if you go to either Supercast or Patreon and look up a lesbian recap, it kind of like opens us up to talk about whatever
we want.
We damn want.
Yep. I do not like the way that this synopsis is written for the next episode.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So next week, episode 8.
November 10th, 1997.
Getting close to my birthday.
I know. So they should have just used the word Annie.
Okay.
But I'm just going to read it and you'll know why.
Okay.
Mom's muffins are so delicious.
No.
Why doesn't it say Annie's? Mom's muffins are so delicious, she decides to go into business and quickly burns out.
She joins OnlyFans.
That's
probably 97 code for OnlyFans.
Yeah. I don't like it at all.
In a total random, this has nothing to do with anything that we've ever talked about.
Ever.
Do you know who George Santos is? He's a Republican representative for somewhere in America, like maybe New York. Mm-hmm. And he's the first openly gay Republican, like, politician.
Okay.
And he has been sort of like called out because he stole a bunch of campaign funds and part of the charges were for OnlyFans. But now there's this clip going around from like, just a few months ago, I think, where he's like, you know what? I don't even know what is OnlyFans. This is the first I've heard of this. I just learned what OnlyFans is the other day. Listen, George.
You've been funneling money to OnlyFans.
Yeah, for much longer than... Anyway, just make
like, OnlyFans is so crazy to me. Like...
Yeah.
I get that, like, that like the sex industry has literally been around. It's the oldest industry.
Like, listen, sex work is real work. And I think this puts it in the hands of the like creator.
Yes.
And it sort of like takes away that like middleman, whether it be a like a pimp or a trafficker or a like da 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 da.
Yeah, you can do it and you are in charge of your own body and what's being shown and ish. I mean, I guess somebody could screen record it and show it to anybody else.
Yeah.
But that's, I guess, anybody can do that with anything, whether your body's naked or not. So
not the Apple app. We have tried to screen record clips.
So we watch this show on Apple TV. It's the only place we could find it.
In Canada.
And I try to do screenshots or do screen record so we can upload it. And my phone knows that I'm doing a screenshot.
Shady business.
Shady business. And it just, if I try to screenshot it on my phone or my tablet, or it just gives me a blank screen.
Yeah.
It won't let me record at all.
Blank spaces like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm sleepy.
I know.
All right. Have a great night and we'll see you later.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Welcome to Seventh Heaven, a lesbian recap. I'm Lindsay, and I'm joined by my co-host and real-life partner, Carling. We're diving into the 90s hit drama through today's lens.
Get ready for our off-the-cuff commentary and peeling back the layers of the Camden family. We'll tackle everything from family rules, life lessons, and 90s fashion.
Join us every week for a lighthearted queer perspective and a trip down memory lane.
Whether you're a diehard fan or new to the show, this recap is for you.
So find us anywhere you get your podcasts at Seventh Heaven, a Lesbian Recap.